It's time for the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. It's time for The Game on ESPN 1400. For the next 2 hours, we'll get an in-depth look at local sports in the Eastern Upper Peninsula and Algoma region, and hear from the coaches and players involved in the game. We'll also analyze the college and pro sports scene across the region and dive into the biggest national stories. Now, let's get to The Game and join your host, Scott Nason.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to The Game, sponsored by ESPN 1400 and currently heard at thegamesportshow.com and thegamesportshow.podbean.com. As the man said, my name is Scott Nason, broadcasting from the home studios here on this Monday, April 20th, 2020, 420 day. And also the Day of Love. Want to thank each and every one of you for joining us tonight. Hopefully you are doing well as we continue to be impacted heavily by the coronavirus and the stay-at-home measures. Thankfully here in Chippewa County in northern Michigan, we have not been hit very hard. But please, we encourage you to abide by the rules that the medical professionals and those that are running the show are certainly hoping that everyone does just that. Coming up in our next segment, we'll be joined by Butch Davis from Butch on Sports. We're hoping to be joined by EJ Russell in Escanaba, Michigan. EJ working a little late tonight. Hopefully we'll be able to make the show. And our other co-host, David McKeg Jr., not able to be with us tonight. He is on assignment. Yes, I think it's the first time we've ever used that terminology as far as Mr. McKeg. He is on assignment because he has a couple big interviews lined up this week, including one tonight. I'm not going to get too much into that. You can go to his millions of social media pages, I'm told, but I'm sure he's probably has some information on there. We're going to keep it to a little under wraps, if you will, but I'll guarantee you're going to enjoy these interviews that Mr. McKeg has in store. Well, this is the local portion of the program. There is some local sports news to share. We're going to talk more about this with Butch Davis coming up, but this just released this afternoon by the Michigan High School Athletic Association as they have their 2020-2021 school year classifications announced. This includes postseason tournaments, including football divisions, determined preseason for the first time since 1998, as well as classifications for the upcoming school year based on the second semester count date, for which MHSAA purposes was February 12th. The enrollment figure submitted for athletic classification purposes may be different from the count submitted for school aid purposes, as it does not include students ineligible for athletic competition because they reach their 19th birthday prior to September 1st of the current school year, and will not include alternative education students if none are allowed athletic eligibility by the local school district. So to put things a little bit in a clearer context, it's a basic count that determines which divisions the certain schools will be in and in the certain sports they will play. Football, they're going to undergo a significant classification change for this upcoming season, with teams in both 11 and 8 player assigned their divisions before the season. This is the first time they've done it in almost, over 20 years, and the first time since 1998. Divisions for the 256-team 11-player field and later the 8-player tournament were determined after the regular season. And so two 11-player football champions will play in different divisions in 2020, and in 8-player football, the reigning champion Pickford Panthers, they were the reigning champion in Division 1. They're going to move to Division 2. With the Division 2 winner, Cologne, they're going to move to Division 1. So a little bit complicated there, but looking at the teams in our area moving from classes to classes as far as Class A to Class B, Class B to Class C, nobody in the Eastern Upper Peninsula has made that jump. There's one team of note in the Upper Peninsula, and the only real local one I could find, actually there were two, as Menominee. They were playing in Class B. They have moved down to Class C, and Indian River Inland Lakes. They have moved down from Class C to Class D. So looking at the football division for the upcoming season, again, the seasons are on as scheduled. We're not looking that far out as far as cancellations, but do note that it is very possible if this coronavirus COVID-19 can't be kept under control or more testing isn't available. In eight-player football Division I, three EUP teams will be in that one: Brimley, Newberry, and Pickford. Again, Pickford, the one jumping from 2-1 based on enrollment. They have 165 at this count. In Division II, three teams in eight-player football, including Cedarville, Engadine, and Rudyard. And in 11-player football, just two teams in the Eastern Upper Peninsula, Sioux High. They will be playing in Division IV, and St. Ignace. They will be playing this upcoming season in Division VIII. In high school volleyball, those divisions have also been announced. Sioux High will be playing in Division II, with all the other EUP schools playing in Division IV for high school volleyball. And that includes Brimley, Engadine, Cedarville, Detour, Rudyard, St. Ignace. The EUP schools, if you will be playing in Division IV. And in high school cross country, Sioux High once again in Division I for the Upper Peninsula, St. Ignace in Division II, and you have Brimley, Cedarville, Detour, Engadine, Newberry, Pickford, and Rudyard all in Division III. And the basketball, baseball, all the other sports have been announced. We'll get to those over the next few weeks here on the game. We're going to talk more again about the statewide as far as the classifications and what that means for high school football and other sports with Butch Davis coming up in our next segment. Well, speaking of football, summer is a busy time for football in Sioux, Ontario. Well, we do know this. The Northern Football Conference made it official yesterday, canceling the 2020 regular season due to the coronavirus. During a conference call, which lasted almost 2 hours, a proposal to cancel the season was voted on by the executive as well as two representatives from each of the league's 10 teams. Sioux Steelers reps were there, including John Bujold, the club's vice president, general manager, and Steve McLeod, an assistant coach. Both voted to cancel. Roshan said in an interview with the Sioux Star, "We're disappointed for our fans and players. We want to make sure everyone is safe. That includes fans, players, coaches, staff, and game officials. We want to support the people who've supported us in the past." So the Sioux Steelers this year will not be playing football. Looks like it wasn't a unanimous vote, but probably the right vote as far as summer sporting activities, because we just don't know overall what it looks like for summer sports programs. We don't have an American Legion baseball team in the EUP with the disbanding of the EUP Travelers, but this past week at a American Legion convention in Kalamazoo, the American Legion baseball season was canceled. Now, I do have reports that some Upper Peninsula American Legion baseball programs, they're not giving up on baseball at some point in the summer. The defending State A class champion Gladstone Indians said on Twitter this past week that its program intends to hit the field once on state restrictions are lifted and it's safe to play. As far as local sports here in the Eastern Upper Peninsula and Sioux, Ontario, we haven't gotten any official cancellations or even information as far as youth soccer and Little League baseball. Of course, those usually start here in a few weeks, usually by the end of May. We'll reach out this week to see if we can get information from those representatives. My gut tells me it's not going to happen unless things really change over the next month or so. You look at those soccer fields and baseball fields, the amount of people that congregate there, even though it's outside, this virus knows no boundaries as far as outside, inside. And so I would highly doubt that that's going to happen. But again, we'll keep you posted here on the game. Sioux Greyhounds center Rory Cairns, he's one of the nominees for the Ontario Hockey League's Most Outstanding Player, otherwise known as the Reddit Tilson Trophy. This will be voted on this week, I believe, as, well, Cairns was the Sioux Greyhounds MVP for this past season, notching 30 goals and 29 assists, and a plus-minus of -2 in 64 games. There's 20 finalists in the Ontario Hockey League, And we'll just have to see what happens in that one. So good luck to Rory Cairns for big possible honors. And the delay of the season, or I should say the ending of the season, is not going to change the big scoreboard that's going to be put in the GFL Memorial Gardens, according to the Sioux Star. President and Governor Tim Lukinda says it will be in before training camp, whose team opens training camp usually at the end of August. This a over $500,000 purchase. What the company that is building it describes as a four-sided video display scoreboard. They certainly needed a little bit of an upgrade in that department, and apparently all these delays and things is not going to hurt that at all. The Sioux Major Hockey Association over in Sioux, Ontario has named its coaching applicants, and I should say it's named its coaches for this upcoming season. The under-18 AAA Major Midget team will be coached once again by Jamie Henderson. The under-15 AAA Major Bantam team will be coached by Alex Cruz. Dom DeLuca, he's going to coach the under-14 AAA Minor Bantams. And the under-13 Major Peewees will be led by Terry Cittarini, along with John Bossio, who will coach the under-12s, the Minor Peewees. Craig Kennedy, he's been selected to coach the AA Major Adam, or under-10 squad. And Cole Jarrett will lead the under-10 AA Minor Adams, 9 and under. And finally, as far as local sports, we did get a couple notes as far as Lake Superior State University athletics. Taylor Simonu has been named to the 2019-2020 All-GLIAC second team. She was on the women's golf team this past season, so congratulations to her for being named to the second team All-GLIAC team. Well, that's about all the local sports I could find. Not a lot with the games not happening. It is kind of bittersweet, to say the least. Obviously, it certainly is for those athletes that would be, well, finishing up their senior seasons on the diamonds. Of course, there was snow up here last week, but it was melting. This is usually the time of year where I start to dust off the umpiring equipment. I was all excited to resume umping this year. It took last year off due to my full-time job, but you know, that's nothing compared to what some of these senior, especially the seniors, and your heart just has to go out to them as far as not being able to go and perform and play, and you know, missing proms and everything else that comes along with senior seasons. But again, got to be safe, people, and please abide by those things that are, well, keeping people safe, staying at home, keeping your distance, wearing a mask when you're outside, and not being stupid. We'll get more into that later on. Might get a little political tonight, but hopefully I won't. Maybe Butch will cheer me up, because coming up next, it's his birthday week, and so he should be in a good mood. Butch Davis joining us coming up next on The Game, sponsored by ESPN 1400 and heard at thegamesportshow.com and thegamesportshow.podbean.com.
Hi, this is Paul Maurice from the Winnipeg Jets, and you're listening to The Game Sports Show.
Let's get back to the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. Let's get back to the game on ESPN 1400.
Welcome back to the game, sponsored by ESPN 1400 and heard at thegamesportshow.com and thegamesportshow.podbean.com. As we continue on this blustery, rainy Monday night in Sault Ste. Marie, and we are joined now by our next guest, co-host, and all-around great guy named Butch Davis. You can hear his show, Butch on Sports. He does at least one, if not two, sometimes more, broadcast per week of his show, Butch on Sports. You can find it on his website, Simply Butch 2, that's T-O-O, .podomatic.com. You can also find him on Facebook. Give him a like at Butch on Sports. And you can hear him on our broadcast page, thegamesportshow.com, as Butch gives us a Metro Detroit, and always unique look at the world of sports. Butch, hope you're doing well down there, healthy. How are you doing, and how are things going tonight, my friend?
After a weird kind of birthday, I'm doing okay there.
Oh, you stole my thunder, Butch. A belated happy birthday to you. And what did you do to celebrate?
Yeah, a lot of video chatting, a lot of beverages and whatnot there, and a lot of food. But other than that, was thankful to be here another year.
And we celebrated your birthday, Butch, up here by having a lot of beverages, I can assure you there. Sure, I wanted to get to something that was just released here by the Michigan High School Athletic Association. This is the time of year where they start looking to next season and the school year classifications, which were announced. This is where teams move up or move down, some from Class A to Class B and otherwise. And so I just want to go through the list here if you haven't seen this, which I'm sure you have. And a lot of these schools are in your area. Moving up from Class B to Class A for this upcoming school season includes Fowlerville, Harper Woods, and Ionia. Moving down from Class A to Class B, Battle Creek, Harper Creek, and East Point. Schools moving up to Class B from Class C include Blissfield, Canton Prep, Dearborn Riverside Academy West, Detroit Pershing, Detroit Edison, and of course, moving down from Class B to Class C, those schools include Adrian Madison, Detroit Jalen Rose Leadership Academy, Grand Rapids Wellspring Prep, Menominee, which we already talked about, Otisville Lakeview Memorial, Perry, and Pinconning. Those moving up from Class D to Class C include Birmingham Roper, Detroit Academy of the Americas, Detroit Southeastern, Detroit the School at Mary Grove, Eau Claire, Genesee, New Buffalo, and Payndale's Jeffers. There is one school that moved up from Class D to Class B. That's Detroit Cornerstone Lincoln King Academy. And finally, Butch, schools moving down from Class C to Class D include Benton Harbor Countryside Academy, Deckerville, Detroit Douglas, Detroit Public Safety Academy, Indian River, Inland Lakes, and Mayville. So a lot of teams moving, as always happens. Butch, any of those kind of catch your ear before we talk a little bit more about what they're going to do for football next season?
Well, E-Course, number one, I think that kind of surprised me there. I didn't know that they had gotten a lot more relevant students in their area there to come join it, although the area that served E-Course as well as River Rouge, it would be used to be Southwest Detroit area where the old Southwestern High School people used to go to. And a lot of those particular individuals there, being that those schools I just mentioned are school of choices, a lot of Detroiters are going to those nearby schools, and then I'm talking about E-Course and River Rouge. So it's not surprising that E-Course is ratio of students has climbed a lot, probably because of Southwest Detroit there and the old Southwestern school there. Jalen Rose Academy going from up to down there. That is shocking here to me right now there. And we'll probably have to talk to Jalen, again, an old Southwestern graduate there, to find out why that is happening. But no, it happened for a reason. And we have those particulars there as followed there. But just some moves there. Those two right now, they stick out like a sore thumb here.
Butch, the other thing I wanted to talk about was high school football this upcoming season. It's going to undergo a significant classification change with teams in both 11 and 8 player football. They're going to be assigned their divisions before the season. This is the first time this has happened since 1998, taking into account the hard enrollment limit, which was counted this past February. And so what you're going to have, Butch, is some teams that played in divisions last year playing in different divisions. We mentioned the one up here, Pickford, who won an 8-player football Division II. They're going to be playing in Division I, where last year, the team that won in Division II, an 8-player, Cologne, they're moving to Division I, and so you're also going to have some other schools moving from champions last year. Grand Rapids Catholic Central, they're going to move to Division 5. They were Division 4 last year. Division 6 champion Monroe St. Mary's Catholic Central, they're going to play in Division 7. And also, last year's Division 2 runner-up, Detroit Martin Luther King, they're going to play in Division 3. So the big change to this, Butch, is they're classifying teams in divisions before the season rather than, you know, after you get everything going. Good move for the MHSAA?
It could be, but, you know, it's good to know where you'll be your land when you go to the playoffs there, so you can kind of keep an eye on the competition and maybe have scheduled those particular teams, because I'm quite sure scheduling right now has not happened as of yet. I think the MHSAA would like to see more schools classifying within their division besides go to the lowliest team like the college teams go to that you never heard of, or maybe wouldn't get a Class A, or as they used to be called, the Class A type of ranking there. In this case, Division One type of school going after a D-class team or a Division Eight or Seven team there. So that seems kind of weird in fact, but again, football is football in the state of Michigan. I really don't have an explanation to it. Hopefully we get to hear theirs and the reasoning behind it.
Well, Butch, we would be remiss not to talk football right now. And this is a big week for football and just sports, because we're going to have something that's live. We saw that Friday night with the WNBA draft. I know you talked about that on your show on Thursday. I had a chance to watch a little bit of that. So we kind of know a little bit maybe of the visuals that we're going to see, because we saw last year in the NFL draft in Nashville where, you can't even imagine seeing this now with, 100,000 people in the streets of Nashville. Obviously, that's not going to happen this year. It's going to be a virtual draft. Before we kind of get into the Lions and what they're looking at, just overall, Butch, starts on Thursday. It's a three-day event. I believe three networks are covering it. You really covered it well on your show. Are you looking forward to Thursday and the draft?
Yeah, just see the finally they get it over with here and find out where everybody's laying there. Find out who's the liars and who the flyers here. Because everybody seemed to have a hang on where everybody's supposed to be going. I mean, talking about the players in college and ones who dropped out of college to participate in this draft there. And it seemed to be something very, very wicked here. So the Lions have caught a lot of news here lately. And basically, will they stay at number 3, or will they trade up or trade down, or will they get someone special? And to be able to kind of flop their particular standings or ways there just to give somebody up. Why is everybody like a hog they slop here? So I don't know why they will be entertaining not going to number 3 unless they're getting something really, really big in return. And lately here, those years when they try to get something really, really big, it turned into a dud here. We talking about Snack Harrison was an example last year there. So I'm very anxious. I want to see it done. I want to see it over with so we can go to another phase of life there.
Is it a foregone conclusion, in your opinion, Butch, that the Lions have to go defense with that third or whatever pick they draft on? I mean, right now, number 3, it looks like Jeffrey Okuda, the cornerback out of Ohio State. He seems to be the clubhouse favorite, if you will, going into the draft. I mean, obviously the Lions need help at lots of positions, but they got to look at defense first, don't they?
Well, the cornerback position, and I've cried that river for the last 3 years, ever since we've been on the show. It's been
Nile River, all those tears.
Yeah, really, I'm still tearing them out right now here. But, you know, to be exact about it, yes, they need a whole new team. And they're doing that in this offseason. They're dumping a lot of people from last year. I don't know how they got on the team, per se, but last year was a stinker. And they do need to change the environment or change the culture of some of the players and how they play and what they bring on in to see if their heart and soul is into playing a game in the full 60 minutes instead of 15 or 20. Cornerback is one of the positions I have cried about for years and years and years. We haven't had a very good cornerback here in a very long time here. And only when you get at least one cornerback, you can get two good cornerbacks. When you get one good safety, you can get about three or four good safeties there because everybody's on the same page of knowing their assignment and what they have to do. And right now the Lions don't have anything. We talked about Slate from losing him from the team from last year there. But Slate, to me, didn't show any leadership when it comes down to how he can persuade others to get in there and do the job he's supposed to do. And although he got the interception, a lot of limelight, anybody can play zone. But when it comes down to playing man-to-man, Detroit does not have that particular talent on their team. They need that very bad.
Butch Davis joining us on the game. EJ Russell is going to be joining us, Butch, in about 5 minutes or so. So let's kind of keep the regional talk going as far as the, three teams in Detroit obviously not playing. Pistons and Red Wings, they're stuck pretty much in limbo as far as their season. The Detroit Tigers season, other than a few spring training games, hasn't started. Really anything to update from those three clubs right now, Butch, that you want to share on tonight's show?
Nothing really, you know. I think this harvest is going to come from Governor Whitmer. I watched her this afternoon, and good for her. She's standing pat.
Absolutely.
On what's going on here. She's not going for the clown show that happened all last week where basically people flooded the streets of Lansing and therefore to
calling you now.
do their crime here. And who the heck knows here?
Governor Whitmer on line one.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe I should answer this one here. Maybe. Hello?
This is fantastic.
I'm sorry, no Darrell lives here. All righty.
Wait for Butch. We got EJ Russell in the bullpen. Go ahead, Butch. You continue what you were saying while I add EJ to the call.
No Darrell lives here, boys and girls here. I'm going to call that number back just for the heck of after the show, just to see what
I feel like that's your code name there, Butch.
Yeah, right. Well, anyway, what was I talking about here before that? I was interrupted here.
I'm talking about Governor Whitmer's press conference today.
Well, Governor Whitmer's press conference, per se, everybody standing pat and not really going and getting freaked out by some of the excitement that happened last year. Not last year, but last week in the streets of the city of Detroit and also in Lansing, where people were doing a heck of a lot of protesting for exactly no damn reason here. And it just was stupid for them to be out there participating that way and not giving a chance to find out. We have not been tested as of yet for us to be eligible to go back in the street and start working there. So I don't know what the climate is as far as this and that there, but I think that was a very good move.
Thank you, Butch. And joining the party, EJ Russell from Escanaba, Michigan.
Yo.
Joins us each and every week. EJ, glad you're back to work today, and welcome to the game.
Yes, got back to my normal 9-to-5 today, and happy to be here as always talking about sports. And I know there was a very exciting documentary released over the weekend that I hope that we get into a little bit.
Well, let's get into that right now, EJ. As a matter of fact, I have not had a chance to watch it yet. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the name escapes me, but the Bulls and their final
the last
season.
Dance.
I'll ask you first, and then we'll go to Butch. Have you seen it? What have you thought so far? Or if you haven't, are you excited to see DJ you start? And then we'll go to Butch.
Well, I've seen episodes 1 and 2, which were released last night at 9 and 10 o'clock consecutively. And I thought it was definitely a very interesting look inside a Chicago Bulls team that we all would have loved to have that access to at the time. Now, fortunately for us in this day and age, there are many other teams that, through HBO Hard Knocks and other series that allow fans that kind of access. I know Michael Jordan had some concerns about the way that this might portray him. But the story of the day throughout everyone that I've been talking to is the former GM, Jerry Krause, and what people's opinions are of him. And if you haven't seen episodes 1 and 2 yet, they are available on ESPN. Go ahead and take a look at it because I thought it was an absolutely fantastic documentary. I think they've done a great job of portraying who's who and what they've meant to the Bulls so far during their sixth and final title run, which Phil Jackson affectionately called The Last Dance, which is why it's titled as such. But I thought it was a very interesting documentary. The one thing that I really learned that I can't say that I really knew ahead of time was, man, did Scottie Pippen really get the raw end of the deal on quite a few occasions. Now, I do respect ownership's decision to, once you sign a contract, no, that's it. You honor your contract at sign. But man, Scottie Pippen got the raw end of the deal. He wasn't treated particularly well in those final years, but it really is an excellent story and gives you an inside look into what is one of the greatest basketball teams of all time.
I'm going to be watching it later this week, so I don't have much to say. I'm going to go to you, Butch. One thing I did want to say, Michael Wilbon did say in watching this, The Last Dance reveals a Michael Jordan you've never seen before. Butch, have you had a chance to see it? If you have, what are your comments or just your thoughts in general?
I saw part of it yesterday, a good amount of it, I should say. And it's got a different contract of $18 million for 7 years. It was an understatement per se. It really was. But back in the days when he first signed the contract, which was a 7-year contract, it was kind of weird. And Scottie Pippen didn't kind of look at that, or his agent looked at that, I guess in their mindset. This guy was never heard of. That's a lot of money to one individual there. Scottie didn't read the fine print or had an agent enough to say, you've been screwed here, okay? Because I think they're going to see a little bit more of you, or you get a shorter contract. So when you're able to get out of it or adapt to it, you can go either somewhere else, or Chicago will respect you and give you the big fat raise, which he was. Scottie Pippen, we're talking about, as it showed in the film, when he left or got his injury evaluated and got his foot fixed and all there. Chicago kind of suffered miserably there with their talent and all there. So it was very, very intriguing how Michael Jordan was the big bad boogie bear on the team. And I kind of hate a player on that. I like the player to just come into play and show his influence by leading and not just being a big loudmouth, because I would have took a chair shot his head here. That's number one here. I ain't having all that crap here with me. He'll talk to me. You talk to me like you my daddy. You ain't my daddy. Shoot. You know, the old saying used to say there. So with all that saying, I would never even dealt with all that crap here. It was very, very interesting. Things that Michael Jordan did, along with other players on the team that the Bulls acquired. And I just didn't get too antsy with it, but it was very interesting. You just want to know the whole trip story of Michael Jordan, which, by the way, and Scottie Pippen, which came from Seattle, just the same as Michael Jordan, went to Portland, okay, and Chicago ended up getting him. So, Chicago, they put together six winning years, six rings. That's a lot of goodies there, a lot of hardware.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to watching it here. I'm going to wait later this week till my boys come back, and so they're big Jordan fans, so they certainly want to watch that. I'm going to throw out my topic now, EJ. Butch and I started talking about this a little bit before you came on, this upcoming NFL draft. We talked about the visuals as far as looking forward to what we're going to see for 3 days on three different networks. We talked a little bit about the Lions and their needs, so I'm going to open that topic back up to you, sir, as far as what you're looking forward to. Well, first of all, the presentation, which is going to be a lot different than what we saw last year, obviously, with social distancing and such, and just overall, and obviously you have a vested interest in your Browns and what they're looking at, so we'll kind of open that topic back up and go to you first before we go to Butch and myself. So, EJ Russell, NFL draft this week, live sports, baby, we need it.
Well, I'm certainly excited for the NFL draft, and as many of the listeners know, NFL is probably my favorite of the pro sports that we do cover. The story that I have been really kind of circling around are these Wonderlic scores that have come out. Tua Tagovailoa scoring a 19, which is 1 point below average, which is 20. And then it showed some other people's, the article I read, their Wonderlic scores. The part to me that I found odd was that in reading and listening to people, they're like, oh, I'm not concerned about Tua's Wonderlic score. If that kind of a measurable isn't being taken into account, why are we even measuring it? I understand that the idea is to make sure that the players that we do have in this league, that we have some kind of aptitude and or intelligence test to help determine where they're at. But don't give a guy a test and then say the number doesn't matter. To me, that sounds like a line of garbage. If the test doesn't matter, then don't give it to the guy. Because if it's meant to show aptitude and things like that, I don't understand why it's even being given. With that being said, there are rumors out there that Tua is going to fall outside of that top five, and that's probably the most interesting story to me, is where is Tua going to land? Many people project him to be a top six, if not a top five. But what's going to be interesting to me is, will we see him fall down the ladder and deeper into the draft? If he gets beyond that number six spot of getting drafted, that's when things are going to become interesting. Back to when we're looking at like a Brady Quinn draft or an Aaron Rodgers draft or even a Johnny Manziel draft, where these quarterbacks, you were expecting them to go in spot A, and then it was like, wait a minute, what's going on? Why haven't they been taken yet? You know, Johnny Manziel, many people didn't think he was going to slide past the Dallas Cowboys, and then lo and behold, the Browns ended up taking him. I think it was the 26th or 24th overall pick that year, and their second pick in the first round behind now no longer playing Justin Gilbert. But the draft is still interesting. I hope that, in a sense, this, for some of you that can't see this call that we're doing between us to do this show, the program that we're using, we can see each other and we can interact and the hand gestures and this and that. But it gives you a little bit more of an experience, and I hope that the NFL does something similar to that, where we can see them getting into a little bit more detail behind picks and things like that. But I'm definitely curious to see how the draft goes. I think picks 1, 2, and 3 are just about locked up. I think you can expect that to go. I think everybody's expecting the quarterback Joe Burrow from LSU to go to Cincinnati Bengals, number one overall. Chase Young, defensive end out of the Buckeyes, to go to the Washington Redskins. And then Ohio State cornerback Jeff Okuda, I believe, is expected to go number three to the Detroit Lions. But anything outside of the first two picks really are up in the air. Nobody knows exactly where the Lions are going to go. I think Jeff Okuda is the best pick for them. But I think once we get outside those top two picks, that's when we're really going to start to get into the part of the draft that we as fans love.
Yeah, we'll certainly have a lot more to say about the draft next week when we have the actual picks in. Butch, getting back to the draft, any other thoughts or things you wanted to add with EJ here?
Not really. I said what I had to say here. I'm waiting for it to get over and done with here so they can move to other subjects there and find out, you know, what the present climate is right now, of if and when they are actually going to be taking part. Funny I should say, we should mention that I've been trying to get a hold of the Detroit Lions, so if there are any Zoom account or type of interviews or whatever it may be, that, you know, we all can somewhat take part in that, and I'm still be working on that while I'm home this week here, in order for that draft to be somewhat complete with us here. Other than that, I'm just waiting wholeheartedly just to hurry up and see this done here.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to, as well, Butch, to being able to look at who picks whom and where and what, and to put the pieces together of the puzzle, because we're going to have a lot of time to put the pieces together of the puzzle, because there's not a whole lot of other sports going on. And EJ, I agree 100% with what you said as far as the top three. I think that's pretty locked in right now. Again, there could be surprises, but right now Burrow, Young, and Okuda should be 1, 2, 3. And that's where it starts to get interesting. You mentioned Tua, you know, dropping far down, you know, Miami. Are they looking at him? It looks like the Chargers and Dolphins are the two teams up there that are interested in a quarterback. I wouldn't count Jacksonville out of the mix. I know Gardner Minshew got a pretty big contract, but I would not count them out as far as a team maybe looking for a quarterback. And, of course, being an Alabama fan, it's always fun to see a lot of them picked in the first round. And, boy, wide receivers, if you're one of those teams picking outside the top 10 and you need a wide receiver, this is a pretty good draft for you right now. I mean, Jerry Jeudy, you got the CeeDee Lamb out of Oklahoma. I mean, you got Ruggs out of Alabama. I mean, there's just so many different wide receivers, and I'm missing quite a few. So, you know, as much as the defensive tackles and the outside linebackers are exciting, I'm a kind of a quarterback, running back, wide receiver kind of guy, an offensive guy. So this looks like certainly the draft for me. Let's continue the round table. EJ, you started with the topic, but we got time for one topic for all of us here remaining. So we'll go to you and then Butch first crack. So EJ Russell, what is on your mind tonight, sir?
So last week we kind of dove into which professional sports league may be the first one back. And after watching a particular event Friday night that some people may or may not be aware of what actually happened, the WNBA conducted their draft, and Sabrina Ionescu was picked number one overall by the New York Liberty. With that being said, my question for you guys is, what's holding up letting the WNBA become the first professional league back? And I think that this might be a good idea, but I'll wait to hear what you guys say. So is there a reason why the WNBA can't be the first professional league back?
Great topic, Butch. You get first crack.
I think they'll be the first one back, if people like it or not. I'm just plain and simple about that. I think they will be the first league back. I don't think there's a lot of certainty with Major League Baseball, which you kind of expect them to maybe lead the pack and coming out and telling everyone that we're going to be back at this such and such a date there. But I don't see that happening right now. With so many states doing so many things and so much going on, again, as of last week with the protesters and whatever it may be, who will cave in? I should say, as will be a word that I can't, or you can't, or EJ can answer. In my opinion, personally, I think the WNBA is ready to go. I think they have their plan set of knowing that they're not going to be some crowds or people in the stands there. They'll probably pick a gym or some internet place to play, which is going to save the league a whole hell of a lot of money. In that particular, don't be surprised that you may not see the empty Staples Center or empty arena per se, but you find an old field house gym or maybe a training center that they're going to play their games and to make it look a little bit more intimate there. But again, the game is the game. With or without the crowd, I think the WNBA is going to start. It will be the first one to get off the blocks and play some basketball.
You know, EJ, that's a great topic, and Butch, I like what you said as well. You know, I hadn't really thought about the WNBA because sometimes that's what happens when you follow a bunch of sports and don't follow other ones. You kind of forget that they're even there. The MLS is kind of the other one that leads me to thinking that a league that had just started their season, and you know, you look at whatever sport's going to start. Unless things really change quickly, which by all accounts, and I try to tune out the talking heads, if you will, the pundits on TV, you know, even certain politicians, and I'm not going to go into which ones, but I listen to the medical professionals when it comes to what's going to happen next, as I think really everyone should as well. And, you know, I've not heard really any official say that, well, you know, if we stay inside for a while, this is going to go away after a certain point. We just don't know that right now. And that's the scariest part, is we just don't know what's going to happen. And we were talking about that in the first segment as far as local sports and, you know, youth soccer and baseball. Are those things going to happen? I don't see that happening. But I do see sports, and I'm a little more positive than I was last week as far as some of the things, you know, that we're seeing. As far as just hearing the reports, the PGA has come out this past week, saying that they plan on resuming the schedule sometime in July without fans, and that includes a tournament in the Detroit area, I believe, as well. And so, you know, if you're looking at which sport may get underway first, WNBA, Yeah, I gotta say, I think there's a lot of validity to that, EJ, as far as, now again, there's not going to be fans. It's going to be a while, I think, before we get into sporting events with fans. But if you look at it, I really don't see any way that these sports that were about two-thirds of the way through their season here, the NBA, the NHL, international soccer and the Premier League, I just don't see how they're going to be able to get those things finished out. And who knows? Maybe they will. I think the smart money is on them trying to figure out what they're going to be doing next season when, Premier League's only a few months away. I mean, they really start their training camp and exhibition games in July. Butch mentioned Major League Baseball. Hard to say there. So, EJ, great topic. I would not put any money against the WNBA. They certainly got to be one of the favorites. Your thoughts on your topic, sir?
Well, and here's what I believe. I think I agree with both of you that the WNBA has the greatest potential to probably be the first team back. I have some reasoning to it, and I want to make sure I get it all out before anybody makes any judgments on my thoughts here. But I think that the WNBA, out of all the leagues, may have the least or the most minimal financial hardship from starting play back up. Unfortunately, these women aren't played as much as the NBA players. Their attendance isn't nearly as high, not to say that their product is any less exciting or the basketball isn't good. These ladies are fantastic athletes and are really, really good basketball players. I think that they have the best potential, and I think that they have the most opportunity to also put forward a program of what may work for the rest of the leagues, not to kind of knock them for any reason, but they're probably, out of our major professional leagues, the one of the worst attended, and I'm not basing this in fact, I'm guessing here, excuse me. Yes, they do get attendance, yes, they do sell tickets, yes, they do sell merchandise, but I think that, closing the doors out to an NBA game or closing the doors out to a WNBA game, which one's going to cost me more money? Well, I think wholeheartedly that would be the NBA, which is a far more viewed product. I think if some of these NBA teams or even the league itself can back the WNBA and maybe work in conjunction with them to try to find a solution for what can work to get the league back, I think that this is a great opportunity for those two leagues to work together to create something that will work. And if the WNBA can put together a product that is keeping their players, coaches, and personnel safe, they can be a leader to getting us back on track to becoming a normal sports country again. I think it's an excellent idea. After watching the WNBA draft on Friday, I was thinking to myself that there's absolutely no reason why they shouldn't be the first one. If a couple of leagues like the NBA and maybe some other professional sports organizations kind of step up to the plate here, back them up a little bit and say, hey, whatever you need to put sports out there, let us help you. We want to try to work with you to create a safety program and let's get back to as normal life as we can. The NBA has a great opportunity to gain more recognition than it already has, become a leader in the sports industry of how do we get back to normalcy. While again, being the only product that will be on TV, it'll be great for their viewership. I feel that they have the potential to gain a lot more fans by becoming the first team back the first organization back than to not do that.
Scott Nason, EJ Russell, and Butch Davis on this Monday night edition of The Game. Our fourth of the four horsemen, David McKeg, out on assignment tonight, gentlemen. I didn't mention that to you two. I mentioned at the beginning, Dave has a couple big interviews lined up this week. He's doing one tonight, so he couldn't join us. So make sure you check those out on thegamesportshow.com and thegamesportshow.podbean.com. These are two big gets for Dave, and it's very exciting. We're gonna leave the suspense to Dave, because I don't want to steal his thunder, but certainly going to be exciting to hear the interviews he has coming up. Always exciting to hear the roundtable. Butch Davis from Butch on Sports has the next topic. So, Butch, the floor is yours. I'll try first crack and then EJ.
I don't know what the best topic is I can bring up here out of the rank. I know I haven't heard anything about college sports and what they'll be doing, and it's very obvious that right now they're not going to lead into nothing but football season there, coming there. How fruitful that is going to be when it finally happens there. It's a good It's a good idea that they may be playing some football in August, but again, this pandemic, the way it is right now, many of us are looking at the second wave or third wave of stuff coming through and affecting a lot more other people there before they find a cure or some type of vaccine for this there. What do you think about that there?
You know, Butch, and you just said it, until everybody is tested, and we are woefully behind in that as far as how amount of people that need to be tested that haven't been tested. It's a very small percentage nationwide until a vaccine is made, which, you know, health experts say no closer than a year, if not longer, and unless something really changes. Again, going back to listening to the medical experts, you know, they're saying this is, we're going to have to social distance for a while. And that doesn't mean that everything's going to be shut down forever. And then you mentioned earlier, Butch, in this state of Michigan, Governor Gretchen Whitmer was on today talking about in 10 days, they're going to reevaluate the plan as far as looking at a gradual reopen. But getting back to your point, as far as the NFL in August, college football, I mean, it's going to be very, very tricky to try to pull this off. I mean, just look at college football, for example. I know Kirk Herbstreit, he had something on ESPN today, him talking about how he would be shocked as far as if college football, the games began, because, you know, this isn't something where you can just sequester these athletes in a hotel for weeks at a time. I mean, this is when schools are supposed to be opening, and, you know, what do you do with the students and student body and, you know, packing the stadium, and that goes for the NFL as well. I mean, are you going to have, you know, one fan per six seats? I mean, so much is uncertain right now. The only way I can see it at this point, and now this goes into next fall, if not winter, if not already into 2021, if we see live sports, and I certainly think we will before the fall, we're not going to see a whole lot of fans, kind of like what you've seen in wrestling there. You haven't seen anybody with the performances there. I just envision that that's the only way they're going to have to figure it out, unless something strange or unpredictable happens. I certainly hope it does, but my money's on open stadiums and trying to get things back to where they can, you know, start to generate revenue. And the other thing you have to look forward to, or I should say look ahead to, in the fall is these leagues that, you know, have, you know, international boundaries. You know, you look at locally here, I mean, the Ontario Hockey League, the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League, you know, where you have Canadian teams and American teams, there still may be restrictions on border travel and who goes into what country because of certain areas where the coronavirus has spread into certain areas. I mean, it's just I wish I knew the answer, but that's the best I could come up with, EJ. Hopefully you can come up with a little better.
Well, when it comes to college football, I think the most important thing that we need to keep in mind is that the NCAA, and I'm going to throw their own words and phraseology back at them here, okay? If, for any reason, the decision to bring back college football is made for financial purposes, that is wrong. These are amateur athletes. They are not being paid. If these universities are going to decide to bring these schools, these athletic programs back, the football, the this, the that, whatever it is, if they bring it back for the purpose of financial gain, that is wrong. And I think that some of the athletes may need to take a stand here. I don't know how you do that against the NCAA, which is such an all-powerful organization that could potentially blackball you from playing for that kind of university or that level of school again. I hope that they bring college athletics back under the right circumstances, because to me, if financial gain is at all the reason that they are bringing it back, that is no longer amateur athletics. That means that, in my opinion, they need to pay these kids to be back, especially if we're bringing them back in a world that may not be safe for them. You know, I've always been one that, you know, kind of downplayed at the beginning what this coronavirus could do. And you know what? I've bought in. And if you haven't, you should, because it is something to think about. But to me, I have no problems with college athletics coming back so long as the reasoning is not financial gain. And that's about all I have to say on this, just because, again, if you do that, you're spitting in the face of your athletes and saying that we don't really care about you. We're doing this for us. and get your butt on the field for your free education and put yourself at risk. If it's for financial gain, it's for the wrong reasons. If we're in a situation where the league can come back, can be healthy, and our players, support staff, coaches are all safe, then I'm fine with it.
Well said, EJ. Butch Davis, great topic. Your thoughts?
Oh, boy. EJ, you made some very good points, and so did you, Scott. I think the biggest point in the concern about this particular there, they're not getting paid, okay? Although California has passed the rule that for here on out, any athlete to participate in a California college will be able to reap the benefits from the jerseys or any kind of sports paraphernalia that has their name or address on it or phone number.
They can make money on their likeness, correct?
Right, exactly. Okay, so they will be able to pull a little cash cow when the season started, if that's the case. Other than that, there, I'm very much so agree with, I can't see that. You know, these kids got parents, okay? And their little boo-boo or something going out on the field trying to practice and all that, and with the climate of concern, is very warranting to a parent. I'm quite sure a parent will step on in there and say, hey, let my kid come home, or you know what? You know, try to convince them not to play because this number A, B, or C, or all the above, is against you right now in doing all this right now. It's better be you have your health than be going to play football and not being able to live to reap the benefits there. This is a very, very dangerous situation. As time goes on, we get a lot of information on the who, what, when, why's, and how this got started. Who's manipulating certain things in the street in order to keep their dreams alive. It's very confusing right now, and I'm watching them. I mostly watch the BBC because I can get a view of everything that's going on in the United States at a non-partial rate, you know, and they have done an excellent job on information that we don't get, you know, we don't really receive, okay? And it's heartening right now what's going on in this country, per se. The politics, as well as some of the people in counting on the safety and health and welfare of the general public, which is the American people at large there. So, no, I don't think that could happen. I think it could happen on time, but the perfect situation has to be in the play for them to even come to term. EJ made it very, very clear that, you know what, the only ones who's going to profit from this is the colleges. These kids are not going to profit from that. And yes, they should be given a dime, a dollar, or whatever it may be, a little bit more than that, probably per se. But again, unless the absolute conditions are right, college football is not going to happen, you know, not as it should in August as it normally goes, but maybe later on.
Go ahead, EJ. You got a final point before we go to my topic.
Yeah, I just want to ask you guys real quick. What are your quick thoughts, maybe a minute or less, of the NCAA throwing around the idea of doing a spring football season coming up immediately followed by a fall football season? I'm not in favor of it, but I want to hear what you guys have to say.
Go ahead, Butch, and I'll answer going to my topic.
During this time of year, we would have had a lot of spring games going on. That's in stone. We would have seen a lot of football right now, at least from a college standpoint, because there's spring games, but normally this time of year will take place. But we haven't seen any this year.
What I like I'm to talking spring, about moving the regular season into the spring.
It's not going to happen. I think if everything else is molded to what it's supposed to, and we're talking about the participants of the National Basketball Association, National Hockey League, National Football League, normally during this time, and also Premier Soccer and also Major League Soccer are in play. That's going to be very difficult for them to have a spring season. Now, the fall season, yes, but I can't see it with all that competition up there. And, you know, unless you live in Alabama where you don't have a pro football team or pro hockey team going into play, it wouldn't interest the people such as in Detroit or Chicago or maybe on the West Coast that spring football would be somewhat reasonable. The XFL canceled their season, per se, and I thought that was a pretty good doggone thing they had out there right now. You know, give or take of spring football, per se, we don't know if they're going to crank up next year. So that'll be another entity right there that would somewhat put a block on college football there. So, no, I don't see that happening.
Yeah, Butch, I understand that, leagues and the NCAA and really businesses and everybody is just trying to come up with solutions and answers and how to, possibly fight this and to get their seasons going. I don't see it happening. I would certainly wouldn't like it to happen in the spring. I mean, if you can't get it done in the fall, then you just have to move on to the spring sports because, that could possibly affect the spring sports next year that didn't even have a chance to be affected or didn't have a chance to get going this year. So I don't like it. I don't think it's a good idea, but I understand where the NCAA is coming from. They're just trying to get something out there because, again, nobody had a contingency plan for what we're facing, and so we're all trying to do it on the fly. One topic I wanted to bring up tonight here, gentlemen, lightening up a little bit, one of the things that I've enjoyed. There have been a whole lot of things I've enjoyed during this stay at home. I've had some great time with my fiance and my family. Certainly, that's the part I have enjoyed. But one of the other things I've enjoyed is the old games or the classics, if you will, that have been televised. And Butch and I talked about this when it first broke out. I was hoping that Fox Sports Detroit was going to be showing some of these older games, and they have, and they have every night. And the question I have, the topic I wanted to bring up is, yesterday I had a chance to watch two games, bits and pieces of it. One was Super Bowl, I believe 33. I think it was Denver and Atlanta. And just to hear the voices of Pat Summerall and John Madden on a broadcast, that was fantastic. Then last night, Game 1 of the 1984 World Series, Detroit and at San Diego, Vin Scully and Joe Garagiola. Oh, my God. Those guys just are so, so good at what they do. And so the question I had, and I think we brought this up a little bit as far as solo broadcasters and broadcasters that have, had a lot of influence in your lives. But the question I have tonight is, and you can have several broadcasting duos, like the two I just mentioned, or maybe some that you have as favorites. What would you say are some of your favorite, if not the best, broadcasting duos? And stress duels. I'm talking a 1-2 team. Who are some of your favorites? Who are some that you think the best? They can be national. They can be local. EJ, I'll go to you first, and then Butch. So best broadcasting duos of all time, in your opinion. EJ Russell.
Well, individually, I got to give a shout out to my hometown announcer, Tom Hamilton. In my opinion, one of the greatest baseball announcers out there. Absolutely fantastic. Has a great home run call, strike three call. Really knows how to make the game exciting through the radio. As far as my favorite broadcasting pair goes, though, I'd probably have to give my pair to Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth. Chris Collinsworth is not, a fan favorite of many out there, but anybody that gets to sit next to the man that made arguably one of the greatest calls in sports history is with the Miracle on Ice, anybody that gets to sit next to him, that's immediately to me one of the greatest duos. Obviously, Pat Summerall and John Madden has to be a highlight of my NFL childhood. I absolutely remember hearing those guys' voices, and to this day when you hear Pat Summerall introduce a game, you know exactly the kind of detail and attention that you're getting to the game. And it's put forth in a very classy way. Pat Summerall and John Madden, for me, are the NFL pinnacle as far as announcers go. But I'm a big fan of Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth. Here's a guy. I'm just kidding. I won't go into that. But I think that they're really good. I enjoy their broadcast. Whether or not you like Chris Collinsworth, I really don't care, but they are probably my favorite pair right now.
Butch Davis, favorite sports broadcasting duos in your opinion? The floor is yours, sir.
Oh, boy, that's going to be a good one here. I can think of none of them that y'all mentioned here, but, you know, I enjoy Bill Shanley and of the Portland Trailblazers for a good while when I was young there. Is a sidekick. Used to do CBS color commentating, also on NBC. I forget his name here. I'll think of it in a minute because I used to see him every other day when I was in Portland, Oregon there. I'll come do that in a minute. But, you know, I like to hear Bruce Martin and Bud Lynch. They were a very good team on Red Wing hockey there. That was the, boy, extraordinary coverage and calls when they did hockey there. Another one that you may not take a liking to that I thought was very good a team there was Gorilla Monsoon and Jesse the Body Ventura or Pat Patterson.
Awesome. Those, I love it.
Oh, man. They could call anything. I can see Gorilla Monsoon covering a hockey game right now, and I still would be to the edge of my seat there, man. And then, you know, well, though, when you hit them in a certain way, you would use the elbow as the the capo cantado, whatever it may be. A Gorilla Monsoon used to come out and say those names that you wouldn't even think a body part would be named. But those would be my picks there. Dan Kelly is another one who did an extraordinary job in calling commentating in hockey and whatnot there. I think some of the best commentators to me, you know, has not been in Detroit, to say. I hate to say that. I used to like Al Kaline and George Carroll a whole heck of a lot because they would come up with a bunch of stories and all that would keep you from being bored during watching a baseball game, and you got to include them in there. But I would say Bruce Martin and Bud Lynch, but my favorite would be Gorilla Monsoon, Pat Patterson, and Jesse the Body Ventura. And you know what? Give Vince McMahon, because before he was known for all of this, Vince McMahon was a class wrestling announcer. And you know what? That man is not put in the Hall of Fame for some of the work he did in announcing, there is something radically wrong with the world here.
Great stuff, guys. And yes, you mentioned Bruce Martin, Butch. He got one of his early jobs was right here on one of our sister stations, WSOO in Sault Ste. Marie, starting way back when, before he hit the big time with the Red Wings and more. And I love the Jesse Ventura and Gorilla Monsoon. Never would have thought of those two, but boy, you talk about the voices of my childhood. Ernie Harwell, Paul Carey, you mentioned Kellen Kaline. You got to put Gorilla Monsoon and Jesse the Body Ventura in there as well. And again, I mentioned some of the others at the outset. You know, Pat Summerall and John Madden, like EJ said, the voice of my childhood watching football. And, of course, the voice of some of my earliest video game experience with Madden and the Madden franchise going back to the 1990s. Vin Scully, I cannot say enough good things about the type of broadcast he does, and he literally just retired a couple years ago, and with Joe Garagiola, but just Vin Scully on his own, just, I mean, smooth as silk, the guy, just his delivery, his knowledge of the game, and just the way he just explained it was just better than none. Ernie Harwell, my favorite because of the local angle and listening to him, but Vin Scully, in my opinion, baseball, at least in my generation, best broadcaster. Hockey, a couple of them I wanted to mention. Butch, I would agree with your Red Wings assessment. Being on the border of Canada and watching CBC, Bob Cole and Harry Neal, Hockey Night in Canada, many a broadcast with them, through the years, some of the best. I remember when I was in the military over in England, we got the American Forces Network, and they usually would show mostly American broadcasts, but every so often they'd sneak in a Hockey Night in Canada on a Saturday night. I'll tell you what, I loved when it was done by those two gentlemen. And then one, and this is more of a solo one, I'm kind of breaking my own rule, but the late Tom Meese for ESPN did some of their early hockey broadcasts.
Yeah, buddy.
Local perspective, he broadcast Lake State University's then Lake Superior State College's first national championship on ESPN in 1988. I can remember being just a little older than my oldest son right now, watching that on ESPN and listening to the broadcast on the radio. Mind you, there was a bit of a delay, but then also putting on Tom Meese for that one. So those are some of my favorites. Basketball, I don't really have a duo. Mark Champion doing the Pistons games over the years has been a good one. So just some good broadcasters out there, and I always like to talk broadcasters any chance we get. So, gentlemen, we're already to that point. Oh, EJ, you got one more thing. You're raising your hand. I like that. That's good manners there. EJ, final thoughts here before we stop.
Yeah, I know, right? Raise my hand because everybody that's listening can see me raise my hand. No, but... I know you're asking for pairs, Scott, but if we're going to bring up individual announcers, I think Doc Emmerich definitely deserves a lot of credit. This is a gentleman that puts in so much research to every broadcast. HBO did a very nice 20-minute piece on him a couple of years ago, and he is so good at what he does and filling the game with is correct information. You know, he's even brought up that the Blackhawks organist, you know, the game that he came back after having cancer treatments or a surgery or whatever it was. I can't remember what it is, but I guarantee you that if you were to ask Doc Emmerich about it right now, he'd know exactly who it is. I got the opportunity to meet him one time, told him where I grew up, told him I appreciated him, you know, throwing back to his Bowling Green days, which is where my dad went. But when he asked where I went to high school, I told him the name of my high school, and he knew the team mascot. I mean, that's how much research this guy does. He knows his facts. He knows his stuff. And I think that today, if you were to try to model yourself as a broadcaster, specifically in the game of hockey, after anybody, Doc Emmerich, Mike Emmerich would be a great guy to lead the way.
Yep, Mike Emmerich and Bill Clement doing a lot of the ESPN broadcast back in the day. Let's get to our thumbs up and thumbs down, gentlemen. Butch, we'll start with you, and then we'll go around the horn one more time. So, Butch Davis, your thumbs up and thumbs down for the week, sir.
Yeah, remember Doc Emmerich used to be on Fox for long time with Bill Clement there before they got swapped over to Clement with the ESPN, joined Tom Meese, and of course NBC got a hold to him, and he's never looked back here. We're talking about the great Doc Emmerich, who I've met on several occasions. The guy is a funny guy here, really. Him and also Bob Cole. Bob Cole, I got to meet him finally in a Stanley Cup when the Red Wings were here, and he was very gracious there. Him and, by the way, the cigar-smoking, he's on ESPN now. What's his name here? Blah, 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 blah.
Barry Melrose?
Barry Melrose, right. Barry Melrose gave me a cigar there, and I swear it up and down. It's from Cuba or Jamaica when I smoked it. But
right. Jamaica.
But it's
420 day. We can say some of these things.
Oh yes, it's fantastic. What do you want from me now here? The up and down here?
The ups and downs. The thumbs up and thumbs down for the week there, bro.
You know, right now, let's give it to the people out there who are listening to us tonight. There, great restraints on keeping social distance and all there. If you want to be a fool, you can. There's a lot of room for it, and you got plenty of street to do it in. But you know what? I would not advise it, because you might get a popo who get pissed off today. And according to Speedwell, popo's being pissed off today. Young lady, 5 years old, was one of the virus recipients dying today. 5 years old. Her mother is a policeman. Her father is a fireman in the city of Detroit. And it put everybody in shock. It lets us know that this virus takes anybody and everyone. Please stay safe.
Well said, Butch. My thumbs up and thumbs down for the week. Thumbs up to Marcus Davis. He is a gentleman now living in the Romulus area, close to where Butch is, and did some work up here at Lake Superior State University. My son Vance, my oldest son, attended one of his basketball camps last year called Grindhouse Basketball. This is a very intensive basketball camp, but certainly improved his basketball skills. And, well, obviously basketball camps aren't going on. And a little over a week ago, I got an email from Marcus Davis talking about a virtual basketball camp. But it's 3 days a week, 1 hour a week, Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays, noon to one. This was my son's second week doing that, and he's having an absolute ball. My parents cleared out their garage. He has it on Zoom, where him and about eight or nine others are doing ball handling skills and things to do around the house. Former Brimley standout Marcus Harris, now playing for Bay College in Escanaba, is also attending that virtual basketball camp. And so if anybody is looking to have their youngster kind of keep their basketball skills honed during the stay-at-home measure, you can do so by just Google Grindhouse Basketball, or you can find them on Facebook. They're going to be offering more camps. I want to give a shout out to Marcus. We've had him on our show before. I think last year around this time we had him on our show talking about the upcoming camps. So it's a great job. My son's very active, and it gives him something to do and gets him some exercise, because it's not easy to do sometimes. You don't get a whole lot of exercise on the Xbox One, I'm finding out. So I certainly want to do something else. And thumbs down, I got to say it. I try to avoid things that are political on this show, but looking at the pictures that we saw last week from the state capitol, enough, okay? You know, I understand, and usually as a whole, I'm for smaller government and, you know, less government regulations maybe as a whole, but now's not the time. Now's not the time to make a political statement, to make political points, or to wear any campaign signs or flash your AK-47s. Now's the time to listen to the medical professionals that are saying, stay at home, stay away from each other. Things aren't being done because they're hating business or we want people to suffer. Things are being done and decisions are being made because that's what the health experts are saying. If we would have taken some of these decisions a little less lightly at the beginning, and there's plenty of blame to go around, and it goes on both sides of the aisle, it goes on many countries. This is something we as a country, as a nation, and the world were not prepared for. And we're scrambling, and there's people in power right now that are trying to make decisions the best they can. And, you know, if the health officials are saying we need to do something, then we need to do something. It doesn't matter if it helps one candidate or another. We all have to do this together. So stop being idiots, because you're endangering not only people that I care about, but my family members, well, of course, people I care about, but just people in general, by possibly spreading a disease that we still don't know a whole lot about. So take advantage of the orders that are out there. If it limits your freedom for a little bit, so be it. We got to be safe, and I'm all for taking the safest measures we can to get rid of this epidemic so we can get back to what we like doing best, guys, covering, watching, following, broadcasting, and doing things sports, among other things. There, I'm off my soapbox, EJ. The floor is yours, sir. Thumbs up and thumbs down.
Thumbs up for the week in sports. I got to give it to Muggsy Bogues. This week, reached out to a young fan named Riley via video call to wish her a happy birthday. Had her nearly in tears, but this is certainly a younger athlete that may not understand who Muggsy Bogues is or was and what he did for the game of basketball. But thumbs up to the little guy for making the impact on a young person's life by calling to wish him happy birthday, something he didn't have to do. So thumbs up to Muggsy Bogues. Thumbs down for this week, and he'll look confused when I say it. It's going to go to Butch Davis. No, I don't look like Kevin Owens. I look better than Kevin Owens. Right? And you guys might be laughing listening to this, but on the format that we're doing this call, I could see earlier Butch type a little message that said that I look like Kevin Owens. So thumbs down to you, Butch. I look better than Kevin Owens. Come on, man.
We would be remiss, EJ, not to wish Butch a happy birthday. It is his birthday week, so happy birthday, Butch Davis.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, is it your birthday yesterday, buddy, or is it today?
It was yesterday.
Well, happy birthday, Butch.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody. Yeah.
All right, let's go around the horn one more time, gentlemen, before we wrap up. Butch Davis, Butch on Sports, which can be found at SimplyButch2. That's to.podomatic.com. What's in store this week, my friend?
Well, you know why I wasn't on the air last yesterday, that's for sure.
Yeah. That's right. What an interesting show if you were.
Yeah, right. Me and The Rock would have been hugging. Was hugging last night here. But, hey, I'm back to normal again. And you're right. After this doggone show's over, I'm hitting it. I'm really going to be probably trenched down with the Detroit Lions this week, as I spoke earlier in the show. The draft, I'm quite sure they'll have some virtual type of setups, hopefully, where I get to know or will hate them even more. Setups where we can get some information about the players and the players that they're going to be taking or have taken there, okay? So we'll deal with that, and hopefully we'll get more news or more availability of when certain things will start or will they be delayed again now.
Certainly look forward to that, Butch. Have a great night and rest of your week. We'll talk to you next Monday night for our next edition of The Game, sir.
Thank you.
And EJ Russell, how are things in Escanaba outside going back to work? Are you able to fish still? I'm not quite sure if the orders, if that's possible. What's up for you this week?
Yes, you can fish. I have been fishing a few times. Hiking back in the woods, outdoor activities are still encouraged. So if you are someone that enjoys the outdoors, please maintain social distancing, drive by yourself, but you are able to still go fishing, go for a hike, go for a walk. I know here in our town, public city parks are closed, but state parks, federal parks still open. So please, if you enjoy the outdoors or just sick and tired of being inside, do yourself a favor, get out, go for a walk, and enjoy what this great state has for us, whether you're in the Lower Peninsula or Upper Peninsula. Other than that, not a lot planned. Excited for the NFL draft coming up. They did do their mock draft today, which, other than one early hiccup, I'm reading, went very well. John Elway had nothing but good things to say about it. So excited for the NFL draft Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, however many days that this marathon of an event will go on. Block at least 2 hours out of your schedule, though, because I know that I read that they got their mock draft done in 2 hours. Look for this to look on your TV screen, possibly more like your local fantasy football draft. Guys like Butch, other reporters out there that are looking to get inside information on these teams, maybe a little bit harder, but look for your screen to look somewhat familiar as far as the fantasy football style draft goes. Everything's going to be done digitally, but the NFL had a great run, so just looking forward to that.
EJ, great to have you back on the show again this week. We look forward to hopefully talking to you next Monday night for our next edition of The Game, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And one final thought, guys. The wedding is still on, by the way. August 1st, 103 days away. So we're certainly keeping our fingers crossed, not just for sports and businesses, but for the big event on August 1st. I hope to see you guys there. It's going to be a lot of fun. So keep it on your schedule. We haven't canceled a thing. We want to do this.
I'll be there.
I'll be there.
And it's an open bar, guys. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Board, yeah. But we're going. Yeah. Well, now I'm blocking it out of my schedule. I'm taking days off. I'll be there.
All right. That's going to do it for this Monday night edition of The Game. Again, if you want to hear this show or our other shows, including Dave McKegg, Butch Davis, ESPN Blacksburg, and more, you can find them at thegamesportshow.com or the podcast page, thegamesportshow.podbean.com. For Butch Davis and EJ Russell, my name is Scott Nason. We'll talk to you next Monday night for the next edition of The Game, sponsored by ESPN 1400 and heard at thegamesportshow.com.
See ya! The bar is open!
Thanks for listening to The Game here on ESPN 1400, WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader. Check us out next Monday at 6 for the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. You can hear the podcast of the show and other broadcasts at thegamesportsshow.com.